The Gospel of John. We're going to look at chapter number 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. John chapter 13. I want to preach to you this morning about dirty feet. Dirty feet. All right? Let's have a word of prayer together and we'll jump into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I do pray that you'd use it this morning to really speak to us and challenge us. Convict us, Lord, where we need convicting. Admonish us, Lord. Exhort us. Teach us, please, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in John chapter number 13, we see the public ministry of Jesus Christ has really come to an end. In the first 12 chapters of John, we see Jesus as being the light of the world. We've talked about that. In chapters 13 to 17, much of the subject that is discussed with the disciples really revolves around love. In chapters 18 to 21 of John, it talks about life because Jesus came to bring us life. He died and gave his life so that we could have eternal life. When we focus here on these next several chapters, chapters 13 to 17, we find Jesus in the upper room with the disciples. And it shares with us in these chapters some of the incredible truths that Jesus tried to teach to his disciples in the last hours before he would be betrayed. In the last hours before he would be tried and crucified on the cross of Calvary. In these chapters, the message of Jesus was for his disciples and for those who would be his followers. We learn about his love for us, and we also learn what love should look like. We learn about what love should look like for us as his disciples. We're taught how to live the Christian life. We end up reading, and we'll talk about it more in chapter 14. We read about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who Jesus gives to live in us. We learn about the deep abiding relationship in chapter 15 that Jesus wants to have with us. How we ought to live the Christian life certainly involves following the example of Jesus, doesn't it? Who is our example? Who is our pattern that we should follow in his steps, that we should walk in his steps? Well, it's Jesus. There's no better pattern to follow, no better example to follow than Jesus. I'm supposed to be an example, but I fail and I fall and I sin. Jesus is the perfect example. He's the perfect example. I want you to notice with me John chapter 13 and verses 1 to 5. In chapter 13, notice that we have a very powerful, a very convicting example to follow. John 13, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, that he, he'd come from God and he was going to go back to God soon, says in verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus would lay aside his outer garment. He would lay aside his robe, and he girded himself up to serve. The Bible says he took a towel, he took a basin, he filled the basin with water, and Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. What did Jesus do for us? Jesus took the place of a servant. Jesus, we know, he had already showed himself a servant, hadn't he? He was not just a servant now. He was a servant in his whole purpose of coming down to earth. The Bible tells us that that's why he left heaven. That's why he became flesh. The Bible tells us in Mark 10:45 that Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Hold your place in John 13 if you can, and look with me over at Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verses 5 to 8. So Jesus came to minister. Jesus came to serve. We see in him that example of a servant. In Philippians 2 verses 5 to 8, it tells us, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we ought to have that same mindset of Jesus, the mindset of a servant.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because it's true, Jesus was God. Jesus is God. But it says in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know what? Jesus was a servant in every way. In every way. He became a servant and was willing to come down to earth and die on the cross because he loved us. Because he wanted to save us from our sins. Go back with me to John chapter 13. Look here, and of course we see Jesus. He is a servant. He is the utmost example of what a servant ought to be. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He came to give his life. John chapter 13, I want you to notice verses 4 to 7. John 13, verses 4 to 7. It says, he riseth from supper, and laid down his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do now knowest not thou. In other words, you don't quite know it now or don't quite understand it now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus told Peter that he would not fully understand all the spiritual meaning of what he said. He was not going to understand fully the meaning of what he did that night until afterwards, until more was revealed. Notice verse 8 now. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. In other words, thou hast no part of me. What did our Lord mean by that statement? He meant that without this washing, the disciples of Christ would not enjoy close fellowship with him. We cannot walk or live in this world without getting dirty feet. We can't. We live in a world where there is sin all around us. And we have a sin nature. We can't walk. We can't live in this world without getting dirty feet. If we are disciples of Christ, then we better come to him often. Truthfully, we better come to him daily and let him wash our feet. Let Jesus Christ wash our feet. Let him through his word, let him through his Holy Spirit, wash our hearts and cleanse our minds of those things that would hinder our fellowship with the Lord and make our feet dirty. You know what? Our Christian walk, we sometimes call it, our feet can get dirty. Our feet can get dirty in this world with all that's around us, all the temptation, all the sin, and the sinfulness of ourselves. We can get dirty feet. And we need to let Jesus wash our feet. How is it that Jesus Christ washes us today? Well, in Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? The Bible answers the question. It says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. If we're going to be clean, it's going to come through God's word, spending time in God's word. John 15:3 says, now ye are clean through the word, which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17 says, sanctify. That word sanctify has to do with cleansing and purifying and so on. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5 says this, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. By the word. How does Jesus Christ wash us today? It's with the word. It's with the word of God that he can cleanse our hearts. It's with the word of God that he can cleanse the mind of believers. When we sin, how are we cleansed? 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Think about dirty feet for a moment. The feet speak about the walk, our Christian walk. And when you and I live in sin, when you and I live in disobedience, then we are not walking God's way. Any sin in our lives, truthfully, needs to be confessed and forsaken. We as Christians, we as children of God, we're to walk the Christian walk. We're to walk a Christian life. And that means that, hey, when our feet do get dirty, when our feet do get dirty and smelly and so on, because of the world around us, because of the sin all around us, because of the temptation all around us, because of things we see that begin to affect our mind or affect our heart, what do we need? We need cleansing. I need my mind cleansed. I need my heart washed. I need my feet, if you will, washed. I need to be cleansed. We don't want to live with dirty feet. We don't want to live with dirty feet. Sin in our hearts and lives will always hinder our relationship or our fellowship with God. When we have dirt or when we have sin in our hearts and lives, truth is this, we won't enjoy much spending time in the presence of a clean and holy God. That's why we need to let Him wash us. You know what? When we're in sin and we're holding on to sin in our heart and mind, do we feel much like spending time in the presence of a holy God? Not really. Not really, if we'll be honest. So that's why it's important that we confess our sins and forsake our sins. So why? So He can wash us. So He can cleanse us. So He can wash the dirty feet. So He can keep our hearts and minds cleansed. Because listen, sin will always hinder that fellowship. It'll always hinder that closeness. It'll always hinder that relationship with Jesus Christ that He so much wants us to have. Again, notice John 13 and verse number 8. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Jesus was telling Peter that he would not enjoy a deep abiding relationship. He would not enjoy the close fellowship with Christ unless he allowed Christ to wash his feet. Unless he allowed Christ to wash and cleanse the sins of this world that often taint or make dirty our hearts and minds. When we walk in a sinful world, listen, we can't help it. We're going to get dirty feet. We're going to get dirty feet. Notice verse 9 with me, John 13, 9. After Jesus explains this to him, notice what Peter says. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head. He says, okay, if you say that, then I'm going to have no part with you. Then Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. First, Peter was trying to refuse to let Jesus wash his feet. But when he realized it meant that he would lose close fellowship with Jesus, then Peter, he sticks his feet out. He sticks his hands out. He bends his head over and says, Lord, I want you to wash it all. Wash my hands, wash my feet, wash my head. I want to be clean. I want every part to be clean. Oh, I wish that we'd have an attitude like that. Oh, Lord, here's my heart. Cleanse every part. Cleanse me. Wash me. Make me clean. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Wash them. Here's my mind. Cleanse it. Listen, I don't want my life tainted by sin. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. We do have to be clean in order to enjoy close fellowship with Christ. We can't walk in darkness and light at the same time. We've got to get clean. We've got to let Jesus cleanse us. But notice verse 10. It's a pretty interesting verse. John 13, 10. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not, or needeth except, or needeth only, save to wash his feet. And I'll explain that. But is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. You've already been washed, Peter, Jesus is trying to tell, but not all. You've still got dirty feet that you need washed. You've got dirty feet that you need cleansed. Here's where the spiritual truth really, really comes in here. There are two different words that are used in this verse. Jesus said, He that is washed. He that is washed. Imagine for a moment just, you know, being totally fully bathed. That's what that first washing is talking about. He that has been washed, he that is washed, he that has been bathed, needeth not save to wash except for his feet. Jesus was telling Peter, listen, you've already been bathed, you've already been washed, you're already clean for the most part. But Peter, you still need your feet to be washed daily. When Jesus told Peter, ye are clean every whit, it means you're already clean in the sense of being made whole. You're already clean in the sense of you've been washed wholly and completely, just like I would sing, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I was washed, I was cleansed when I got saved, but listen, I still get dirty feet living in this world. I still get dirty feet as I walk in this world. And that needs to be cleansed daily. I was washed clean, made whole when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. I'm justified. My record's clean in the sense that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm a child of God. But you know what? In order to have a close fellowship with Christ, in order to maintain a close relationship with Christ, I need to wash these old dirty feet. Let Jesus wash these dirty feet daily. Jesus was telling Peter, you've been made whole, but you're still going to need your feet washed in order to come into the house, if you will, in order to enjoy a close abiding fellowship with Jesus Christ. In those days, it was very common for them to go to a bathhouse for their bathing. You know, their homes didn't have, you know, bathrooms and so on like we have it. They would go to a bathhouse and they would get bathed and they'd spend some time there. But you know, when they left the bathhouse, what did they do? Well, they'd still walk in you know, sandals, and they, you know, they didn't use all the socks and type of shoes we'd have nowadays. They would still get dirty feet, dusty roads and so on. They didn't have sidewalks like we do. They'd still get dirty feet everywhere they walked. So what was the custom? Well, the custom was that when they would get to someone's home, in people's homes, there would be a wash basin, and they would wash their feet before entering that person's home. Even if a person had just come from the bathhouse, even if they'd just taken a bath and they were cleansed and made whole, it was still appropriate for them to wash their feet when they entered the house. The Lord Jesus was teaching Peter, and really teaching all of us, that when we come to the cross and when we put our faith and trust in Jesus as our personal Savior, listen, we are clean every whit. We are clean every part. We are washed all over. We've taken that bath, if you will. We've been bathed. We're cleansed. We're made whole. But as we go through life, we can still get defiled by the things of the world around us. Temptations will come to our mind. Sin will be all around us trying to influence us. And sometimes we even become disobedient and sin gets into our own hearts and lives. And so what do we need? We need to clean those dirty feet. We need to let Jesus wash those dirty feet. What must we do? We need to wash our feet daily, spiritually. Because we won't have close fellowship with Christ if we are allowing ourselves, if our Christian walk is such that we have dirty feet. We need to be washed. We need to be cleansed. We should confess our sin daily. We should be cleansed daily so that we can walk in closeness with Christ, walk in close fellowship with Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 John, towards the very end of your New Testament. It's not the Gospel of John, but later God used a man named John to write down for us just three very small letters. First John chapter 1. And I want you to notice there verses 5 to 10. 1 John 1 verses 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no what? No darkness at all. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. What do we need to do? Listen, we need to let him wash our feet daily. We need to come to him for cleansing, come to him for forgiveness, come to him. Why? Because we need to be washed of those dirty feet. Washed are those things that defile our hearts, that defile our minds, those sins that taint us and make us dirty. Confess those things, be cleansed and forgiven. Why? Because I want to walk in the light. I want to have a part with Christ. I want to walk in close fellowship with Him. I want to be able to enjoy His presence today. And so we need to be cleansed of our dirty feet. Be cleansed. Go back to John chapter 13 with me if you would. John chapter 13. That's the spiritual truth that really is taught in those verses. I want you to go back and look at verse number 11. John 13 and verse 11, it says this, "For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, 'Ye are not all clean.'" Remember, he's in the upper room with the disciples. He said, "You're not all clean." Because he knew there was one that was not. Jesus knew that not all the men in that room had been washed, had been bathed, or had been made whole. Jesus knew that there was one deceiver in the midst. He knew that Judas would betray him. Judas had not taken that bath, that spiritual bath. He had not been washed. He had not been regenerated. And that's why Jesus made the statement, "Ye are not all, not all of you are clean." What a warning that ought to be to us. Listen, don't be a Judas. Don't be a Judas. Don't just live a lie. Make sure you've come to the cleansing fountain of Jesus Christ and been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Make sure you've been saved. Make sure you've been washed. Make sure you've been cleansed and made whole, clean every whit. Make sure you've trusted Christ. If you've been washed, if you've been bathed, if you've been regenerated and you know that you're saved, then listen, he says to us, don't neglect to let Jesus Christ wash your feet every day. Don't neglect to get your dirty feet, to let them be washed and be cleansed. Wash your feet daily. Wash your hearts and minds daily through His Word and through His Holy Spirit. Because our feet start getting smelly and dirty as we walk through this old sinful world. And we must confess our sin. We must cleanse our hearts daily if we're going to enjoy that close fellowship with Jesus Christ that He wants us to. Now understand this. We cannot have, again, we can't walk in both darkness and light at the same time. Whoso walketh in darkness cannot be in the light. And where does He walk? He walks in the light. Jesus walks in the light. He is the light. If we're going to walk with Him and have close fellowship with Him, if we're going to have an abiding, close relationship with Christ, then we cannot enter His presence with dirty feet. This is the primary spiritual application in the story. This is something vitally important that Jesus was trying to teach His disciples. Listen, you're going to get dirty feet in this world. And make sure you get them washed. Get your hearts and minds cleansed daily. But I think there's a second important lesson. It's a spiritual lesson and it's a practical lesson that we can learn. Look with me at verses 12 to 17. John 13, verse 12 to 17, it says, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, 'Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord.'" And ye say, well, you're saying well when you call me Master and Lord. That's who I am. He says, "For so I am." But notice verse 14. "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Listen, you'll only enjoy your Christian life to the extent that Christ wants you to enjoy it if you'll do these things. Happy are ye if ye do them. We'll only enjoy our Christian life to the fullness that He wants us to enjoy it if we do these things that He just taught, do these things that He just explained, if we will confess our sins daily. We will not experience the joyfulness and the abundant Christian life if we are not washing our dirty feet. If we're not letting Him wash us and cleanse our hearts and minds daily. Because we can't enjoy the Christian life like we ought, living in sin. We need to confess our sin daily. We need to wash our feet daily. Don't live with the sin and dirt of this world staining our life. Let's not just be Christians whose heads are full of good Bible doctrine and knowledge, but then be walking around with smelly, dirty feet. Let's keep ourselves clean so we can enjoy sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's one thing, that happy are ye if you do them. Happy are ye if you do this, if you make sure. I don't want to walk with dirty feet. I want to be clean. I want to be cleansed. But secondly, remember what Jesus told the disciples in verse 14. Just as he washed their feet, they also should wash one another's feet. That can really have two meanings for us. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, it tells us this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When a brother or sister in Christ falls into sin, they're to be brought back into fellowship by one who is spiritual. They're supposed to be brought back into fellowship by one who is Christ-like. Just criticizing or kicking someone who's been knocked down is not washing their feet. It's not doing anything to try to help restore them. It's not doing anything to try to help bring them back into close fellowship. We got to wash their feet in that sense of trying to help restore them and bring them into close fellowship. Spiritual people ought to be the ones that would wash the feet. The ones that would seek to restore people to close fellowship. In this story, we also see, of course, a very practical example of having the attitude of a servant. Jesus took the towel. He girded himself with a towel. He took off his robe so he could get down and do the work of a servant. He took a towel. He got the basin and he filled the basin full of water. And then he got down at the feet of the disciples and went to each one of them and took the water and bathed their feet and washed their feet and so on and scrubbed their feet with the towel, dried their feet. He became a servant. He did what a servant would normally do. We too ought to have a Christ-like spirit to serve one another. We ought to have that same spirit or heart or attitude. What lessons can we learn from this story practically? Number one, be a servant. Be a servant. Right? He said, this is the example. I'm going to set you an example. What can we learn practically? Be a servant. Like Jesus was willing to humble himself to serve, can we humble ourselves to serve? Do we need a high profile? Are we just looking for a position, or are we looking to serve? The best way for us to find Christ exalting us and lifting us up is when we lower ourselves and put ourselves in the place of a servant. Then he will lift us up. Be a servant. Be a servant. What else? Be a restorer. Be a restorer. Why not help to wash the feet of those who get knocked down by sin? Help bring sinners back into close fellowship with Christ and with his church. Pray for them. Be the one that's trying to restore them, not the one that's just dismissing them. Be a servant. Be a restorer. And then thirdly, realize that all of us must spiritually have our feet washed daily in order to enjoy an abiding relationship and close fellowship with Jesus Christ. As we live in this sinful world, we're going to get dirty feet. You know what it's like to have dirty feet, smelly feet? You got a husband with dirty feet, a wife maybe that has smelly feet. You know what? Spiritually, many times we can get dirty feet in our Christian walk. Oh, I'm not saying you're not saved. You've been washed. You've been made whole. You've been made clean every whit. But still, Jesus told Peter, you have a need that I wash your feet. You have a need to be washed. You're going to have a need to be cleansed daily. Your feet are going to get dirty as you walk through this old sinful world. We need to come to him every day for washing and cleansing. Spend time in his word and let it cleanse and wash our hearts and minds. Come to him. Confess our sins so that we can maintain close fellowship with him, like 1 John 1 would tell us about. Don't lie and deceive ourselves. Be honest about it. God, I've got dirty feet. Got dirty feet again today. God, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to wash me. I want a clean heart today. God, I want a clean mind today.
Sometimes sin and temptation and things just gets at us and gets our feet dirty. But we can come to him for cleansing and forgiveness and be restored to walk in close fellowship with him. Let's not let sin, let's not let dirty feet hinder our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So be a servant, be a restorer spiritually, but also realize I have a need to get my dirty feet washed every day. I need my heart in mind. I need my dirty feet. I need to be washed and cleansed because I want close fellowship with Jesus.